طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. But today this is our first session reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Medina, Book 3, Level 3, Arabic Language Institute, Islamic University of Medina, by Dr. Fahd Abdurrahim. This being our first session, I'm going to just take a couple of minutes, very, very briefly, to make some introductory remarks, and then we're going to go right into the lesson. That is the first lesson for Level 4 of Medina Book 3, Lesson 18. So, the first thing I want to say is that it is of the utmost importance as Muslims that whatever we do, we make sure that we do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. So, 4 points I want to make in this introduction. The first of them is the most important of them. That is, that a person start out with a niyyah of doing this course, studying this book, learning Arabic for the sake of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ told us in an authentic hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That indeed, actions are judged primarily, most importantly, according to their intentions. And a person will have that which they intended until the end of the hadith. So, my first of 4 points, and the most important point, is that every one of us should make sure that our intention in learning Arabic and studying and taking this course is that we're doing it for the sake of Allah alone. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, ask for His help in being successful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah wa la ta'jiz." Go after, be diligent and eager in seeking that which benefits you, and seek help from Allah, and do not feel helpless, incapable, that you can't do it. If you work hard and you ask Allah's help, supplicate to Allah, call upon Allah and ask for His help, then you can do it by the permission of Allah. Second point, I intend, inshallah, to be here for every session unless I'm unable. I mean, if I'm sick, normally I'm going to do the class anyway, no matter what my condition is. Unless I'm incapable, physically incapable of doing the class. So I will be here, inshallah, regularly, weekly, unless some like major event takes place that prevents me. Second thing is that I hope, by the permission of Allah, that I will be on time for every session. And finally, I will come prepared. Yani, I will preview, I will review, I will prep, make preparation for every session, even though I've taught this course like several times in the past, but nonetheless, preparation is very, very important. What I expect from you is the same thing, that you be regular in attendance, that you be on time for each session, and that you come prepared by previewing the material that we're going to do in each session. Yani, for each session, there's going to be a certain amount of material that we expect to cover, and you will receive that outline of the material that we're going to cover in the coming session as a homework assignment for the week before the session. So every week you'll receive a homework assignment. Like those of you who contacted us early on, you received the homework assignments for this first week, starting on Monday. And there will be some work that you should try to do every single day throughout the week. And then we're going to go over that material in the live session, yani, in the week that follows. So, it is important that you be regular in attendance, that you be on time, and that you participate. If you are taking this course just as a listener, then you can listen in. Everybody is welcome, no problem. But if you actually want to benefit from the course, and that is your intention, then you have to participate. And that is by primarily doing the homework assignments, and preferably doing them on time, yani daily, at least spending any 20 or 30 minutes a day, whatever it requires for you. Some people might take less time or more time, but every single day you should be doing some of this work so that you come prepared. And then that you listen in on the live session. If you're going to be listening to the live sessions, that you listen in and correct your material. And let me just note here, as I sent out a notice, that we will not be collecting homework assignments, but rather we will be going over the homework assignments in the live session, and you can correct your own papers. Additionally, what I expect of you and what I encourage you to do is that you help one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate with one another in piety and righteousness. Visit one another, call one another, text one another, help each other. Find a study partner or a group to study with, to go over the material, to help one another and to support one another. Third point, the foundation of the Arabic language is primarily two things. Vocabulary, which you have to memorize, and grammar, yani nahu and sarf, that you have to understand. So in each lesson, we're going to have some vocabulary words that are new, even though there's not a list of vocabulary words in the book, but we are providing a PDF with all of the vocabulary. As far as I know, I didn't prepare it myself, but all of the vocabulary for each lesson will be given. Nouns, verbs, everything from the text, from the exercises. Yani most of the vocabulary that's in each lesson is given in a chapter by chapter vocabulary listing. All right, so vocabulary is very, very important that you know the vocabulary. If you don't know some of the words, look in that PDF for the vocabulary for that particular lesson and try to find the words. Second thing is the nahu and the sarf. Any nahu being the formulation, the composition of sentences from words, the structure of sentences. And sarf being the composition of words from letters. Any how words are made up, and the details of this perhaps we'll talk about at another time. But the important thing is that you must learn the vocabulary in each lesson, and you must understand the grammar. The fourth and last point is the basic class format is going to be at the beginning of each lesson. We're going to go through the English key from beginning to end. And secondly, we're going to go to the Arabic dialogue at the beginning of the lesson. We're going to read it. We're going to translate it, and we're going to analyze the grammatical structures of the sentences in that dialogue, and then we'll go on to the exercises. So all of this you should have already done. You should have already read the English key. You should have already read the dialogue. And I prefer that these exercises be done by writing them out in a separate notebook, writing out the questions and writing out the answers. And the benefit of that is that you improve your writing skills. We will be doing all of the exercises in every lesson from beginning to end. Today, we only hope to do the first exercise, which immediately follows the dialogue, and that's a comprehension exercise. While it's fresh in our mind, we want to always try to do the comprehension exercise or exercises with the dialogue. Okay, so the general format for the class is going to be the English key in the beginning of every lesson, the English key, then the dialogue, and then the exercises. And in future lessons, once we've already done the English key, we might review it or review some of it, and then go on to the exercises that remain. That's what I want to say as introductory remarks. And now we're going to go right into the lesson. And again, everybody is welcome. But if you intend to actively participate in this course, then it is extremely important that you participate by doing the daily or weekly homework assignments that are suggested so that you will be prepared. So you will come prepared for the live session in which we're going to go over that material that you had for homework. Okay, let's go to the beginning of lesson 18, which is the first lesson for level 4 course, and the first lesson of the second half of book 3. Halfway down the page, on page 74 of the English key, and by the way, if anybody didn't have a copy of the book, the text for the book or the English key or the vocabulary listing, you can send us an email, not now during the class, but later on, and we'll forward that to you. And if anybody wants to join the class who has not made notice to us that you want to join the class, if you want to get on the email list so that you receive updates, homework assignments, and everything else, then please send us your email address and specifically note that you want to join the level 4 class and you would like to receive updates and homework assignments. Okay, let's read from page 74. Okay, this English key for lesson 18 is quite involved. Yani, it contains 12 points that we're going to go over now. And some of them are brief and some of them are lengthy. And generally speaking, the first point or the first couple of points, generally speaking, are going to be the core of the lesson and the most important part of the lesson. So during the week before a live session, you should have read through the English key and highlighted, checked, or underlined the things that are not clear to you so that you can focus on those things as opposed to hearing this for the first time today in the live session. Lesson 18, English key, page 74. In this lesson, we learned the following. Number one, and by the way, I'm going to give you a reference to where this same topic is discussed in the Arabic section of the book so that, and for homework next week, we're going to be looking at the Arabic explanation of these points that are contained in the English key. For homework next week, we're going to be looking at those Arabic explanations, but I'm going to give you a reference just so that you yourself can always go back and compare the English to the Arabic. Sometimes the English is going to have some points that are not in the Arabic explanation. Sometimes the Arabic explanation is going to have some things that are not in the English explanation. So it's good to read both of them. Even though you might be able to read the Arabic and understand it fully, it's good to read the English key because there may be sometimes something there that's not in the Arabic. Type. Point number one, lesson 18, page 74. Bottom half of the page. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number one, verbs are either transitive or intransitive. Yani in Arabic, from one perspective, we can divide verbs into either being transitive or intransitive. Just like we said in the end of the level 3 course, that verbs are either thulathi or ruba'i. Yani they have originally 3 root letters or radicals, or they may have originally 4 root letters or radicals. So verbs may divide it from that perspective into being thulathi or ruba'i. Likewise, we said in those previous lessons from the end of level 3, is that verbs may be divided into mujarrad or mazid. So mujarrad means it only has the original root letters, either 3 or 4. And mazid means that there are other letters added to modify the meaning of the verb. Okay, for the different yani forms of the verb that if you look up in the dictionary, you'll see form 2, form 3, form 5, up to 10. So those different forms are yani mazid forms of the verb where letters are added to the original 3 or 4 root letters, radicals, in order to modify the meaning. So from another perspective, verbs are also divided into transitive or intransitive. Transitive being al-fi'l al-muta'addi, and intransitive being al-fi'l al-lazim. Alright, so what is the fi'l, al-fi'l al-muta'addi, and what is al-fi'l al-lazim? That's what we're going to look at as the first part of this lesson. Very, very important information. And following that, we'll also talk about how to make a verb that's intransitive, yani that's lazim, how to make it transitive, yani muta'addi. We'll also be looking at that, and then yani some other points. Alright, so verbs are either transitive or intransitive. A transitive verb, al-fi'l al-muta'addi, needs a subject. Subject means the fa'il, the doer of the action. The transitive verb needs a subject, a fa'il, which does the action. And it also needs an object, which is affected by the action. So it needs a subject, the fa'il, the one that does the action, and it needs an object, al-maf'ulu bi, the object which is affected by the action. Okay, the fi'l muta'addi requires both of these things. A fa'il, subject, doer of the action, and a object of the action, maf'ulun bi. For example, qatala al-jundiyu al-jasusa. The soldier killed the spy. Here, the soldier did the killing, al-jundi. So the word al-jundi is the fa'il, the subject, the doer of the action. And it's, as you notice, it's marfu'un with dhamma. The one affected by the killing is the spy, yani the jasus. So the word al-jasusa with fatha is the maf'ulun bi, the object. And here, this is just a reminder, and we should know this too well. The fa'il is always marfu'un. The primary sign of a word being marfu'un is dhamma, primary sign. The maf'ulun bi is always mansub. And the primary sign, there are also secondary signs, the primary sign of a word being mansub is fatha. So we see in this sentence, qatala al-jundiyu with dhamma, al-jasusa with fatha. Al-jundi is the fa'il, it's marfoon with dhamma, and al-jasusa is the maf'ulun bi mansub with fatha. Here's another example. Bana Ibrahimu alayhi salam al-ka'bata. Ibrahim, peace be upon him, built the Kaaba. So the same thing we said about the first example, we say here that يعني, the transitive verb requires a subject, fa'il, and an object, maf'ulun bi. Here in this sentence, bana Ibrahimu alayhi salam, yani is the fa'il. It's marfu'un wa alamatu rafihi dhamma. And al-ka'abata is the maf'ulun bi. It's mansub wa alamatu nasbihi al-fatha. So the transitive verb requires two things. The subject, fa'il, and an object, maf'ulun bi. As opposed to an intransitive verb, al-fi'lu, al-lazimu, needs only a subject. It needs only a subject, a fa'il, the doer of the action. Which does the action? Its action is confined to the subject. Yani it doesn't extend to affect an object. But the action of the fi'l al-lazim is confined to the fa'il, the subject, the doer of the action, and does not affect others. For example, fariha al-mudarrisu, the teacher was happy. So here we have the fi'l, fariha, we have the fa'il, the subject, al-mudarrisu, which is marfu'un wa alamatu rafihi dhamma, and we don't have any object that's affected by the verb. The action in this sentence. We don't have any object, any maf'ulun bi. The intransitive verb needs only a subject which does the action, and that action is confined to the subject and it does not affect others. Another example, kharaja at-tullabu, the students went out. In this example, we see the fi'l, kharaja, and the fa'il, at-tullabu, fa'il marfu'un, the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. And there's no maf'ulun bi, no object that is affected by the action. Turning to page 75, it says here, and this is part of the subject that we have just began. It says here that the subject of certain verbs affect others, but not directly. And this point can be found in the Arabic discussion that we're going to be looking at next week on page 153 of the Arabic discussion. Okay, it talks about this very same point. The subject of certain verbs affect others. It does affect an object, but not directly. So what we were talking about in the first part of this discussion, we're talking about a transitive verb that has a subject doing the action and an object that it affects directly. The maf'ulun bi, that it affects directly. But there are some verbs that don't have a direct object. But they do affect others, but not directly. They do this with the help of prepositions. For example, I looked at him. So the object of looking is him, but it's not a direct object. As in the previous examples, like Bana Ibrahimu al-Ka'bata. And it's not a direct object, it's an indirect object. Alright? So, there are some verbs that do affect others, but not directly. They do this with the help of a preposition. For example, I looked at him. We believe in God. This happens in Arabic also, just like in English in those two examples. In Arabic, and they give several examples here, of this type of verb that doesn't affect an object directly, but it affects objects indirectly with the help of a preposition. Okay, here are several examples. The first one, غَضِبَ الْمُدَرِّسُ عَلَى. Here's the preposition that is making the effect of the verb in this sentence affect an object, but indirectly. غَضِبَ الْمُدَرِّسُ عَلَى الطَّالِبِ الْكَسْلَانِ. The teacher got angry with the lazy student. So here, the object of the anger of the teacher is the lazy student. But it's not a direct object. It's an object that is affected with the help of a preposition, the preposition ila in this case. The second example that they give us here. Just looking for my pencil. Okay, the second example they give us here is ذهبتُ بِالْمَرِيضِ إِلَى الْمُسْتَشْفَى. Again, ذهبتُ بِالْمَرِيضِ إِلَى الْمُسْتَشْفَى. I took the patient to the hospital. I would translate it a little bit differently. I would say, ذهبتُ, I went. Be with al-maridi, the patient, ila al-mustashfa. I went with the patient to the hospital. Yani, of course, the meaning of it is I took the patient to the hospital, but literally I went with, and it's more clear here, yani, the preposition that helps the verb, this verb, to yani affect an object indirectly. The helping preposition would be with. I went with the patient. Dhahabtu bi al-maridi ila al-mustashfa. The third example, نظرت إلى الجبل. I looked at the mountain. And here, the preposition that helps the verb to have an effect on an indirect object is إلى. The fourth example, فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. This is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in which he said, whoever dislikes my way, whoever does not desire my sunnah, is not of me. فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Then he is not of me. He is not from me. Here, the verb is رَغِبَ, and the preposition that helps it to affect an indirect object is عَن. The indirect object being sunnati. The fifth example, أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَطَّلِعَ, with شَدَّ on the ثَاء. أَطَّلِعَ عَلَى مَنْهَجِ مَدْرَسَتِكَ. I want to look into or look at the syllabus of your school. Here the verb attaliya is helped in affecting an indirect object by the preposition ala. Attaliya ala manhaji. The last example, sixth example, لا أرغب في السفر هذا الأسبوع, with فتح. I don't like to travel. I have no desire to travel this week. Again, the verb here is أرغب, the same as in the fourth example, فمن رغب, but here's the مضارع form. لا أرغب في السفر هذا الأسبوع. I don't like to travel this week. Note that the word رغب in example number four has the preposition عن, رغب عن. And in this example number six, لا أرغب, it is helped by the preposition في. And there's a footnote here. It says footnote number one. And if you printed this out from the PDF file, any some of the notes on the bottom of the page are going to be any unclear because of any extra writing that's down there. In any case, the footnotes should say, note that رغب في الشيء, yani having رغب in something, means to like a thing. And رغب عن الشيء, yani not having desire of a thing, meaning means to dislike it. So the verb رغب, when it's used with عن, it means a person has no desire for something. When it's used with في, it means that they have a desire for it. So رغب عن means yani to dislike something, to not desire it. And رغب في means to like something or to desire it. The end of this point, it says here, the object of such a verb, yani the verb that affects an object but not directly with the help of a preposition, the object of such a verb is called al-maf'ulu ghayru sarih, ghayru as-sarihi, yani an indirect object. It is majrur because of the preposition that's helping it, the ala or bi or an or fi, yani. So the indirect object is affected with the help of a preposition, and because of that preposition, the indirect object, al-maf'ulu ghayru as-sarihi, is majrur because of the preposition. But even though It's majrur because of the preposition. Grammatically, in terms of i'rab, it is in the place of nasb. Yani fi mahalli nasb. Meaning it's in the place where it should be mansub. Because what? Because it's a maf'ul. It's the object of the verb. But it's an indirect object that's helped by a preposition. That preposition causes it to be majrur. However, yani, it is in reality the object of the verb, indirect object, so we don't say it is yani mansub, but we say it's in the place of nasb, yani in the place where it should be mansub. Fi mahalli nasbin, nasbin representing mansub. All right, I hope this is clear. This particular point, this is a faida that a person, if you are not familiar with this, you need to pay attention to it when you read it during the week, inshallah, hopefully, and you understood it. If you didn't, I hope it's understood now, that certain verbs do not affect objects directly, but they affect them indirectly with the help of a preposition, making that object an indirect object, a maf'ul ghayra sari. Yani, it's an object that is not, yani, direct. So that object will be majrur because of the preposition, and it will also be yani fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub. Okay, after this, on the second half of page 75, it says number 2. Number 2, unfortunately, is followed on the next page by number 2 again. On page 76, there's a second number 2. So there's a problem with the numbering here. So this first number 2, we're going to just leave it as a continuation of number 1, so that the rest of the numbers will be okay. Yani on the next page, we'll have number 2. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, until we get to the last point, number 12. All right? So this first number 2, I just crossed it out, and I just, you know, wrote over it with a pencil, and I'm going to make it as a continuation of point number 1, so that when we see point number 2 again on page 76, then we'll make that one point 2, and then the numbers will be okay after that. Okay? So it's just a printing mistake. And this should have been number 2 and the next one number 3. But anyway, we'll make this as a part of number 1, right? So number 2 here on the middle of page 75, it continues to talk about the transitive and intransitive verbs. So that's why I say we can just make it as part of number 1 and just continue with it. Its Arabic discussion is on the top of page 154. So on the top of page 154. And again, we're going to be covering that Arabic, yani discussion concerning it, in next week's session. We'll be dealing with that in next week's session. All right. So what we have here right now is point number 2. Again, we're going to continue with what we had, or just get finished reading. We're in the middle of page 75 in the English key. How to make an intransitive verb transitive. How to make an intransitive verb transitive. So what is an intransitive verb? Yani, it's a fi'l lazim that only needs a subject. It doesn't need an object that is affected by its action. How do we make that type of verb that only needs a subject into a transitive verb? Yani, a verb that affects an object. A verb that has a subject doing the action and an object of that action, a maf'ulun bi. How do we transform the intransitive verb that doesn't have an object to a transitive verb that has an object? Okay, they give you an English example and then we'll go to the Arabic. We say in English, rise. That means get up. There's no object here. And we say, raise your hand. Rise, stand up, and raise your hand. Raise your hand is a transitive verb because it has an object, your hand. All right? Rise is an intransitive verb. That's what it says here. Rise is intransitive because it doesn't have an object. Just stand up, get up. And by changing the pattern of the verb, yani rise, to raise in English, it becomes transitive. But this kind of change is very rare in English. In Arabic, it is very common. An intransitive verb can be made transitive by changing it to A, bab fa'ala, which we'll discuss in detail, and B, bab af'ala, which we'll also discuss in detail. So, here we are mentioning two ways to make an intransitive verb transitive. A third way is what we just talked about, yani that a verb can affect an object indirectly with the help of a preposition. But now what we're going to talk about, how a verb, yani, affects an object directly. Yani, you can change an intransitive verb that doesn't have an object to a transitive verb where it will have an object by either changing it to the bab fa'ala that we had in lesson 16 of level 3, or the bab af'ala that we had in lesson 17 of level 3. Okay, so these are two abwab of the fi'l al-mazid, al-thulathi al-mazid, where we have an extra letter being added in order to modify the meaning. So the extra letter in bab fa'ala is that the ayn, the middle radical, the second radical, is doubled with shadda. And the extra letter that's added in bab af'ala is that the first radical, the fa, takes sukun and it's prefixed with hamza. Prefixed with hamza and fatha. So, yani, it becomes af'ala, af'ala. So these are two of the abwab of the fi'l thulathi mazid, when extra letter is added in order to modify the meaning. Both of these babs, bab fa'ala and the bab af'ala, can change an intransitive verb that has no object to a transitive verb where it has an object. Let's look at the examples. A, bab fa'ala, fa'ala, with shadda on the ayn, meaning the middle radical, the second root letter, is doubled by shadda. For example, nazala means he got down. If we double the middle radical, in this case is zay, it became nazala, with shadda on the zay. Nazala means he brought down, yani he caused someone else to come down. He brought someone down. Yani nazala, he himself got down. Nazala, he brought someone else down. And then they give us the sentence, nazaltu min as-sayyarati, I got down from the car. Thumma nazaltu at-tifla, then I took down the child. Yani nazaltu, that's the intransitive verb. Nazaltu. Nazaltu, I got down. Yani, nazaltu with shadda on the zay is the transitive form where I cause, yani, I have an effect, yani, on an object, that is the tifl. Thumma nazaltu al-tifla. Yani, mansub, maf'ulun bi mansub with fatha. This process of changing an intransitive verb into a transitive verb by doubling the second radical with shadda is called at-tada'if. It's called التضعيف. Yani from ضعف يضعف the master تضعيف. Okay, so the process of making an intransitive verb transitive by changing it to the bab فعل, yani by doubling the second radical, this process is called تضعيف. The second way to change a transitive verb into an intransitive verb into a transitive verb is to transfer it to bab af'ala. This bab af'ala we had in lesson 17. Bab af'ala. For example, jalasa means he sat without any object. Ajlasa means he seated him, seated somebody else, caused him to sit. And so he has an object, the one whoever he caused to sit. Okay, the example they gave us in the sentence here, jalastu fi safi al awwali, I sat in the first row, no object. I sat. And I seated the child by my side. Wa ajlastu at-tifla bi janibi. And I seated the child. I caused the child, I made the child sit by my side. So jalastu is intransitive and ajlastu is transitive, meaning it affects an object directly. Ajlastu at-tifla. Tifla maf'ulun bi mansub with fatha. Okay, turning the page to page 76. Yani, in reference to bab af'ala, it says the hamza, which is prefixed to the verb in bab af'ala, is called hamzatu at-ta'diyati. At-ta'diyati, the transitive hamza. So what we're saying here is that the process of changing an intransitive verb to a transitive verb is either by transferring it to bab fa'ala, and doing so by making the second radical, by doubling it, it's called tada'if, or we can transfer it to bab af'ala by prefixing to it what is called hamzatu at-ta'diyah, the hamza, the transitive hamza, yani the hamza that makes the verb, yani the intransitive verb, transitive. It goes on to say at the top of page 76, certain verbs can be changed to both these abwab, can be changed both to bab fa'ala and to bab af'ala. Certain verbs can be changed to both of these abwab. For example, nazala can be changed to bab fa'ala and it became nazala. Nazala, he descended. Nazala, he caused somebody else to descend. And it can be changed to bab af'ala. So it can become from nazala anzala, which also means to cause someone else to come down. Most verbs can be changed to either one of these, either fa'ala or af'ala. One must learn this from books and dictionaries. Yani, which, if the verb is made transitive by transferring it to fa'ala, doubling the middle radical, or af'ala, yani, prefixing the hamza that's called hamza to ta'diyah to the first radical. It goes on to say, and this particular point here is in the Arabic section of the book on the bottom of page 154. This is discussed in the Arabic section on the bottom of page 154. If a transitive verb is transformed, if a verb that's already transitive, we were just talking about an intransitive verb being changed to a transitive verb by either tada'if or by hamza to ta'diyah. But if a transitive verb that already has an object is transferred to any one of these two abwab, fa'ala or af'ala, it becomes doubly transitive. And therefore, any meaning, it affects double objects, any two objects. It takes two objects. And if a verb is already transitive, it's already affecting an object. If you transfer it to fa'ala or af'ala, now it becomes doubly transitive, meaning it affects now two objects, two maf'ulun bi, al-maf'ul bi al-awwal and al-maf'ul bi al-thani. For example, a transitive verb. Darastu al-lughata al-arabiyyata. I studied Arabic. Okay, so this is a transitive verb. It affects an object. Al-lughata is the maf'ulun bi mansub al-fatta, and al-arabiyya is the na't or the sifa, yani also mansub al-fatta. Here the verb darasa has one object. Darastu al-lughata. Yani al-arabi is not an object, it's a not, right? Al-lughata. But if we change this verb from darasa to the bab fa'ala, doubling the middle radical, the ra, it became darras, darasa. Here, darastuka al-lughata al-arabiya. I taught you Arabic. Here it has two objects. The ka, the rastu ka, is the first object, al-awwal, and al-lughata is the second object, mafulun bi athani. So here is what an example of a transitive verb that already has an object. It's already affecting a direct object, transferring it to fa'ala or af'ala makes it doubly transitive, or taking now two objects. Another example, Samia al-mudarrisu al-Qur'ana. The teacher listened to the Qur'an. Samia al-mudarrisu al-Qur'ana. Here, yani, al-mudarris is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma, and Qur'an is the maf'ulun bi mansub with fatha. So here, this verb Samia is already a transitive verb. It has an object, al-Qur'ana. But if we transfer it to the bab fa'ala, or in this case to the bab af'ala, either one of these babs will make it doubly transitive, because it's already transitive. It already is taking an object. Now it will take two objects. So, Samia al-mudarrisu al-Qur'ana has one object. Asma'a al-tullabu al-mudarrisa al-Qur'ana. The students read out Qur'an to the teacher. Yani, asma'a, Samia means to listen. Asma'a means to cause somebody else to listen. To make someone else listen. Yani, by reading out loud, the Qur'an, the students made the teacher listen. Literally, the students made the teacher listen to the Quran. So here we see that asma'a from the verb af'ala becomes now doubly transitive with two objects. Asma'a is the fi'l. At-tulab is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. Al-mudarrisa is the first maf'ulun bi. It's mansub with fatha. And Al-Quran is the second maf'ulun bi, also mansub with fatha. Yani both of them are affected by this verb asma'a. Asma'a, the teacher was caused to listen, and the Quran was listened to. Alright, so this topic, this is the end of, the first two points, which we're going to collect them into one point. This is the end of it, and this is very, very important, the core. And there are other important points in this lesson, but this is the core of this lesson, that we should, make sure that we understand very well. Any of the verbs are either transitive or intransitive. Transitive means that they have an object that they affect directly. That will be the maf'ulun bi. So they require a subject to do the action, the fa'il. And they also require an object that is affected by the action, the maf'ulun bi. The intransitive verb is a verb that only needs a subject. And its action does not go outside of it. It doesn't affect any other object, not directly anyway. Certain verbs do affect others, but not directly, with the help of a preposition, and that's called, that object is the indirect object, or al-mafa'ulu ghayru as-sarihi. So that object is going to be majrur because of the preposition that helps this type of verb to affect an object indirectly, and then we're going to say that it's also fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub, because it is the indirect object. Then we also talked about how to make an intransitive verb transitive, and that is by changing it to bab fa'ala by doubling the middle radical called tad'if, or changing it to the bab af'ala by attaching, prefixing that which is called hamzatul ta'adiyah to the first radical of the verb. Either one of these babs can be used to transfer a verb to becoming transitive if it's intransitive. However, some verbs can only be made transitive by transferring to fa'ala, and some only by af'ala, and there's some that you can transfer to either bab, and this is what you will learn from some grammar books or from dictionaries. If a transitive verb is transferred to either of these babs, now instead of taking one object, it becomes doubly transitive and takes two objects. Okay, let's go on to the next point. I hope that this point is clear. The second point is ara. Means he showed, and he caused somebody else to see something. This is bab af'ala, and it's from the bab af'ala. From the original verb, which is ra'a, ra'aytu, ra'ayta, ra'ayti, ra'a, he saw something. So when it's transferred to bab af'ala, it means he caused somebody else to see something, or he showed it to them. It was originally, this verb a-ra from the bab afala, it was originally ara'a. But, because what happened is that when you transfer the bab afala, you have to add hamza to the first radical, which in the original verb ra'a is ra. So hamza is added to the first radical, and the first radical takes sukun, and it becomes ara'a. But the second hamza, in this form ara'a, has been omitted, just to make it easier to pronounce. So the mudar, so it became, instead of ara'a, it became ara. So you say ana ara huwa, huwa ara, he showed. And then the mudari form of it is yuri, mean he is showing something to, he is causing somebody else to look at something. The fi'l amr form is ari, which means show something, and this is how the amr is isnaded, connected to the pronouns, other pronouns of the second person. So the second person, masculine singular, is ari, arini hadha al-kitab ya Ali, ari. Second person, masculine singular, command form is ari. Second person, masculine plural, going across is aru, aru. So you say aruni, show me هذا الكتاب, this book, يا إخوانو. The second person feminine singular is أريني هذا الكتاب يا مريم, show me this book, O Maryam, and the second person feminine plural is Arinani Hadha al-Kitab Ya Akhawatu, yani show me this book, O sisters. So the command form is only used with the second person. So it can be masculine, feminine, singular, or plural, and even dual, but we're not looking at the dual here. Okay, so the second person masculine singular is Ari. The second person feminine singular is Ari, with elongation of the kasra. The second person masculine plural is Aru, and the second person feminine plural is Arina, yani with noon and niswa, Arina. So you say Arinani, or Arina hu, or Arinaha, and so on like this. Alright, so these are the isnad of this, the command form of the verb Ara. The command form is Ari. Ari, that second person, masculine singular, Ari, with elongation, is the second person feminine singular, and Aru, second person masculine plural, and Arina is second person feminine plural. Okay, so that's the second point, and that's it. It's just a matter of knowing that this verb ara means he showed something, he caused somebody else to see something. It's from the bab afala. It is originally supposed to be ara'a, but the way the Arabs are using it is ara. Point number three. We have just seen, yani, in what we discussed earlier, we have just seen that when a verb is transformed or transferred to bab fa'ala, it becomes transitive. Yani, this is one of the ways to transform an intransitive verb that doesn't have an object to becoming transitive where it has a direct object. For example, nazzala is the bab fa'ala from nazala. And we mentioned this previously in this lesson today. So if a verb is already transitive with one object, it becomes doubly transitive with two objects. This is what we already discussed, right? For example, darasa, yani, it's from the verb darasa, which has one object. It's transitive, but it has one object. But when you make it darasa, bab fa'ala, then it becomes doubly transitive and it has two objects. So, that's what we discussed previously in reference to the bab fa'ala. When we discussed it along with af'ala, that an intransitive verb, by changing to one of these two babs, becomes transitive, and a transitive verb transferring to one of these babs becomes doubly transitive. So from those two babs that make a verb transitive or doubly transitive is fa'ala. And this form of the verb, the second mazid, yani the second form of the verbs in the dictionary, from the thulathi mazid, fa'ala, we discussed it in lesson 16, if anybody needs to go back and refer to that. But in any case, this bab fa'ala is what we want to talk about right now. Okay, the point number three is in reference to the bab fa'ala, not the bab af'ala. Both of them make a verb transitive or doubly transitive, but here we're just talking about fa'ala. And we already said that when a verb is transferred to fa'ala, if it was intransitive, it becomes transitive. If it was already transitive, it becomes doubly transitive, meaning it has two objects that it affects. Now we want to say, in addition to that, this particular bab has two common meanings. Two common meanings. Besides the fact that it makes an intransitive verb transitive or transitive verb doubly transitive, it also has two meanings that are very common for a verb from this bab. This bab also signifies an extensive or an intensive action. Extensive or intensive action. In Arabic, the first, extensive, is called at-takthir. Yani from kathara, yukathiru, or the common noun, kathir, which means many, right? So, this bab, fa'ala, also signifies two meanings. Extensive, which in Arabic is called at-takthir, many. Or it also signifies intensive. It may signify either one, extensive or intensive. Intensive is called al-mubalaghatu. Alright? So these are two meanings for the bab fa'ala. Extensive, which is called in Arabic at-takthiru, or intensive, which is called in Arabic al-mubalaghatu. And then we're going to look at each of them separately. Okay, an extensive action, and then we're going to look at on the next page an intensive action. But extensive means at-takthir. Yani that it is kathir. An extensive action is one done on a large scale, yani to a lot of objects, or one done repeatedly, yani to one object. So it's either, yani the extensive action is that, yani it's takthir, it happens a lot. It's either happening to a lot of objects, or it's happening to one object, but it's happening many times, repeatedly. For example, قَتَلَ الْمُجْرِمُ رَجُلًا. The criminal killed a man. But قَتَّلَ, from باب فعلة, with the ta being doubled with شَدَّ, قَتَّلَ الْمُجْرِمُ أَهْلَ الْقَرْيَةِ. Yani the criminal massacred the people of the village. So in the first case, yani the verb قَتَلَ, it just has one object. But when you transfer to قَتَّلَ, it has this meaning of either takthir, the action happening a lot of times, or al-mubalaga, yani having an intensive, yani the action being intensive. Okay, so we're looking at first, the first one is takthir, an extensive action. Is one done on a large scale, yani to many objects, or one done repeatedly to one object, the same object. And they gave us this example of the criminal who killed the ahlu al-qariya, the people of the village. So he killed many people. Yani his killing, he killed repeatedly. But he has, I'm very, very sorry that I don't normally look at the screen to see the chat box, but I do. I just noticed just now, a long time ago, somebody said, Assalamu alaikum, in the first case, I went with the patient. Are there two indirect objects in the sentence? I don't remember what sentence that was. Oh, okay. It could be. You can say there are two indirect objects, yani. Because I went with the patient. Yani, the patient is the first indirect object by B. And then, إلى المستشفى, yani, to the hospital could be a second indirect object. But the focus here is on the clear direct object. The one that was clearly affected by going is the patient. Yani, I went with the patient. I took the patient to the hospital. Naam, and Allah knows best. I'll try to look at the screen from time to time. I'm not used to looking at it. I'm very sorry about that. Please pardon me if I don't see your question immediately. I'm not that attentive to the screen. I'm really looking at my notes here. Okay, so again, we're getting back to page 76, point number 3. The difference between the two other meanings of the bab fa'ala, yani meaning takthir, an extensive action where the action is done on a large scale to many objects, or it's done repeatedly to one object, like the criminal who killed all of the people in the village. That means that the action of killing took place on a large scale to many objects. And another example is the example of, yani, the other possibility is that it can be done repeatedly, but to the same object. Let's look at the next example that they give here. They give the example of Jultu fi hadha al-baladi. I went around this country. But Jawaltu fi al-mashariki al-ardi wa maghribiha. I traveled extensively all over the world. So again, the traveling in the first place is I went around this country, yani one object, and then, yani when you put it in the bab fa'ala, I traveled, I went around all over the world, yani to the east and to the places in the east and to the places in the west, fi masharik al-ard wa magharibiha. So now we see that the meaning is I traveled extensively, yani to many places. Both of these or the meaning of takthir, yani the action is done a lot. The action that is done a lot, meaning that the person traveled again and again and again, over and over, to different places around the world. So there are different objects, yani traveling to different places. The next example they gave us is فَتَحْتُ الْبَابَ. I opened the door. Yani one object, one time. But فَتَّحْتُ with شَدَّ on the ta, أَبْوَابَ الْفُصُولِ. I opened the doors, yani, of the classrooms, meaning opening many doors. So the action is repeated. yani with many objects. Now here's an example of the meaning of takthir, where the action is not done on a large scale to many objects, but the action is done repeatedly to one object. So both of these are the possible meanings of extensive action. Takthir, it can be done on a large scale to many objects, or it can be done, yani, repeatedly to the same object. Here's an example of the action done repeatedly. Yani, it's extensive because it happens many times, but it has one object. They gave us the example, adda ar-rajulu malahu. The man counted his money, yani, one time. But addada ar-rajulu malahu, the man repeatedly counted his money. Yani addada with shadda on the dal, meaning that he counted that money, the same object, one yani set of money, but he counted it over and over and over again. So the first meaning of the bab fa'ala is extensive. In Arabic it's called at-takthir, and it means that the action is done on a large scale to many objects, or it's done repeatedly to the same object. The second possible meaning of the bab fa'ala is intensive, which in Arabic is called al-mubalaghatu. Intensive action is one done thoroughly and with great force. Yani, it has one object and it's done one time. Yani, extensive, it may have many objects, or it may have one object but it's done many times repeatedly to that object. Intensive means that it only has one object and it's only done one time, but it is done thoroughly and with great force. For example, kasaratu al-kub, I broke the glass. Now when we transfer to bab fa'ala, kasaratu, with shadda on the scene, kasaratu al-kuba, I smashed the glass. It only has one object, it's only done one time, it's not done repeatedly, but it's done thoroughly and with great force. And this is why it's called intensive. It's not extensive, happening to many objects or happening repeatedly to the same object, but it's intensive. It's one object, it's one time, but it's done with great force. Note that the extensive action, the takthir, affects a number of objects, or one object a number of times. Okay, it's happening a lot of times, kathir. But it's happening to many different objects, or one object many times, repeatedly. Whereas the intensive action, al-mubalagatu, affects only one object only once, but with great force. Okay, so please note the difference between extensive, where the action is happening many times, either to many objects or many times to the same object, and intensive, where the action has only one object and it's only done one time, but it's done, yani, with great force, with, yani, intensity. So it's called al-mubalaga, intensive. All right, so this is a very important point from this lesson. Very, very core meaning of bab fa'ala. In addition to it, yani, making an intransitive verb transitive, or a transitive verb doubly transitive with two objects, it also can have either the meaning of extensive, happening many times to many objects, or many times to one object, or intensive, al-mubalaga, yani, happening with one object and only one time, but with intensity, with great force. Okay, now we go on to the fourth point of this. And these points that we're going to cover now are going to be a little bit less intensive than what we covered already, and a little bit more brief, but they're also important. Point number four, and again, this point number four in the Arabic discussion is on the top of page 159. On the top of page 159, where it is, yani, just briefly mentioned in Arabic, okay? It says, number four, إِيَّاكَ, with شَدَّ on the ya, إِيَّاكَ وَالْكِلَابَ, with fatha, means beware of dogs. This is called التحذير. تحذير. From حذر يحذر, the master, التحذير, on the pattern of تفعيل. And we had this, yani, in chapter 16 when we dealt with the bab فعل. This is from the bab فعل. This is the master from حذر يحذر التحذير. And it means warning. Note that the noun after the waw, iyaka wa al-kilaba. Note that the noun after the waw is mansoob, wal-kilaba. And this yani requires some discussion, which we'll probably look at yani when we go over the Arabic part of the lesson. It goes on to say that Iyaka is for masculine singular, yani anta, Iyaka. For masculine plural is Iyakum, corresponding to antum. For feminine singular is Iyaki, corresponding to anti. And for feminine plural is Iyakunna, corresponding to antunna. And then they give us, an example from the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Iyakum wal hasada. Notice that the noun after waw is mansub with fatha. Iyakum wal hasada. Fa inna al hasada ya'kulu al hasanat kama ta'kulu an naru al khataba. Fa inna al hasanat ism inna mansub with fatha ya'kulu al hasanati. This should be in my book, it has kasra, it should be ha al hasanati. يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الخطب مفعول به منصوب الفتح. Beware of jealousy, الحسد. For jealousy eats up good deeds, just as fire eats up the firewood. So this تحذير, the meaning of it is that is warning. Yani you are bringing to the attention of the person that you are addressing something evil or something harmful, so that they may avoid it. And we're going to see many examples of this in the Arabic section of the book, yani on page 159. Okay, after this, we're going to go to point number 5 at the bottom of page 77. At the bottom of page 77 of the English key, point number 5. إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُدَرِّسٌ means, I am only a teacher. I am only a teacher. That is, I am a teacher and nothing else. Yani, I am a teacher. I am not a student. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an engineer. إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُدَرِّسٌ I am only a teacher. I am a teacher, definitely, and I am nothing more than a teacher. That is, I am a teacher and nothing else. So, إِنَّمَا is إِنَّ, the particle إِنَّ from أَخَوَاتُ to إِنَّ. I mean, it is إِنَّ, and it has أَخَوَاتُ that we've looked at in the past. إِنَّمَا is إِنَّ plus مَا. And this مَا is called مَا الْكَافَةُ with شَدَّ on the فَا. Ma al-kafatu. That is the preventive ma. Why is it called al-kafa? Preventive ma? Because it prevents inna from rendering the noun following it mansub. We said that inna, yani inna and akhawatuha, that it's used with the jumla ismiya, and the mubtada becomes ism inna, and the ism inna is mansub. But when it's attached to ma, this ma al-kafatu, it prevents inna from rendering the following noun mansub. We say, for example, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. Actions are judged only by intentions. Innama al-a'malu. Notice that if there was no ma there, we would say innal a'mala. Ism inna would be mansub with fatha. But because of ma al-kafatu, the preventive ma, it prevents inna from making the following noun mansub. Here, al-a'malu is marfu'un and not mansub. If, yani not for the ma, it would be mansub, ism inna mansub with fatha. Unlike inna, the word inna ma is used in a verbal sentence as well. So, yani inna ma, not only does it prevent the inna from affecting the noun, making it mansub, but the other difference is that inna ma is used with a verbal sentence as well as a yani nominal sentence. It's used with a jumla fi'liya as well as a jumla fi'liya as well as a jumla ismiya. So innama yakdhibu, for example, he is only telling a lie. He is definitely telling a lie, and it is only a lie. There's no truth to it. That's an example. Yani, where we're saying that, yani, that we're saying that this is affirming what is in this sentence, yakdhibu, and yani restricting it to this meaning alone. He's telling a lie and no more than that. In the Quran, in 9th surah, 18th ayah, surah At-Tawbah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Only those tend to take care of the masjids of Allah who believe in Allah in the last day. So this is affirming that the people who believe in مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, that they are definitely the people who take care of the masajid of Allah, and only them, not kafirs, not mushriks, but only the people who believe in Allah in the last day. Only those take care of the masjids of Allah who believe in Allah in the last day. Okay, there's a good discussion concerning innama, a little more thorough in the Arabic part of this lesson that we'll be looking at next week, and that's on yani the top of page 160. Yani there's a much more detailed discussion of innama, and we'll look at that when we come to it. Point number 6. Wallahi, we're on page 78 near the top of the page. Number 6, wallahi, by Allah, this is an oath. Wallahi, this is an oath. And here, there's a note on the bottom of the page that says, the waw used for oath is a preposition. That is why the noun following it is majrur. It should not be confused with waw al-atf. The waw, that's a conjunction, which means and, and, this and that. And then there's another footnote related to, at the end of this point, number 6, number 2, it says, see lesson 2. Yani the English key in lesson 2 on page 15, point number 1. Where the types of waw, or three types of waw mentioned, waw al-ataf, which is the conjunction, and waw al-qasam, which we are looking at here, and waw al-hal. Yani, in lesson 2 of the English key, page 15, point number 1, three of the types of waw are mentioned. So here we're just making a note, be careful that you distinguish this waw, which is waw al-qasam, from the waw al-ataf, which is a conjunction, or the waw al-hal, which we will be studying yani, in detail later on. Okay, again. Wallahi, by Allah, this is an oath, swearing by Allah. In Arabic, it is called al-qasamu, an oath, swearing, making an oath. And the statement that follows the qasam, wallahi, the statement that follows wallahi, is called jawab al-qasam. Yani the response to this oath, this swearing that you're doing. If the jawab al-qasam commences, like for example, a person says, wallahi, ana Muslim. So, ana Muslim is the jawab al-qasam. If the jawab al-qasam commences with a madhi verb and is affirmative, not negated by ma, if the qasam commences with a madhi verb and it's affirmative, it should take the emphatic laqad. Yani the particle laqad should be added to the jawab al-qasam if it's a past tense verb and it's affirmative, not negated. For example, wallahi laqad farihtu kathiran. By Allah, was greatly delighted. In this case, yani the jawab al-qasam is farihtu kathiran. It's a past tense verb and it's affirmative. It's not negated. Therefore, it should be preceded by the emphatic laqad, which means definitely, certainly. Wallahi laqad farihtu kathiran. Meaning by Allah, I was definitely, surely, greatly delighted. If, however, the verb is madhi, but it's not affirmative, it's negative, in that case, it does not take the emphatic particle laqad. For example, wallahi ma ra'aytuhu. By Allah, I did not see him. Here the jawab al-qasam is ma ra'aytuhu. It is a past tense verb, but it's not affirmative, it's negative, and therefore we don't use the emphatic particle laqad. And this also is discussed, this matter is discussed in the Arabic section on this, the bottom half of page 160. Point number 7, the verb amsa is a sister of kana. And it means he became in the evening. Yani, he became, something happened, situation changed, but in the evening time. Amsa is in reference to the evening time. Like asbaha is in reference to something happening in the morning time. So, for example, amsa al-jawu latifan. The weather became fine. Latifan. The weather became fine when? In the evening. Amsa indicates that something happened in the evening. Here, al-jawu is its ism, is the ism of amsa. Yani, amsa is from aqwatu kana, so it's used with a jumla ismiya. The mubtada and khabar become ismu kana and khabaru kana. So, in this sentence, al-jawu is the ism of kana. And the ism of kana, unlike ism inna is mansub, ism kana is marfu'un. So we say, amsa al-jawu latifan. The khabar of kana, or in this case, the khabar of amsa and asbaha, is mansub. Ism, amsa is marfu'un with dhamma. Khabaru amsa is mansub with fatah. That's because amsa is from the akhawatu kana. We had that in book 2, level 2, if I remember correctly. The weather became fine in the evening. Here, Jau is its ism, and Latif and is its khabar. And it says, see Asbaha in lesson 17, yani the last lesson from level 3 course, where we discussed the same thing, that Asbaha is from Akhawatu Inna. It's used with the Jumla Ismiya, Mubtada and Khabar. Mubtada and Khabar become Ismu Asbaha and Khabru Asbaha. Same here, Ismu Amsa and Khabru Amsa. Ismu Amsa is marfu'un with Dhamma, and his Khabar is Mansub with Fatah. And this discussion, again, is on the top of page 161. This discussion, there is really not a discussion, but there are some examples, more examples given. Okay, after that, we have point number 8. Inna bi suda'an shadidan. Inna bi suda'an shadidan. I am suffering from a severe headache. And then it says, Mada biki ya Zainabu. What are you suffering from, Zainab? Yani, here, note that many words denoting disease or sickness are on the pattern of fu'alun. Fu'alun. Yani meaning, the first radical represented by fa takes dhamma, and the second root letter, radical, represented by ayn takes fatha, elongated by aleph. Note that many words denoting disease or illnesses or sickness are on the pattern of fu'al. For example, suda'un, dhamma, fatha, aleph, means a headache. Zukamun, dhamma, fatha, aleph, means a cold. Duwarun, dhamma, fatha, aleph. That's the pattern, fu'al. Duwarun means vertigo or dizziness. And su'alun, not su'al, question, su'al with ayn, dhamma, fatha, aleph, means a cough. So the point here is what? That in this sentence they came with the word suda'un, and they are making us know that many types of disease or sickness or illness have this pattern of fu'al. And this point, yani, examples of it are given in the Arabic text on the middle of page 161. Point number 9. One of the patterns of the masdar is fa'al. Note the difference between the previous pattern for diseases, fu'al with dhamma. This one is fa'al with fatha. One of the patterns of the masdar is fa'al. For example, zahabun, fatta, fatta, aleph. Yani the first radical takes fatta, the second radical takes fatta, elongated by aleph. Zahabun means going from the verb zahaba, yadhabu. And najahun, success, from the verb najaha. Yani in other words, this is a pattern for another pattern for the masdar from thulathi verbs, and in which there are many patterns, and you just have to memorize them. This is the pattern fa. Al, like Zahab and Najah. And this is yani, mentioned in the Arabic text on the bottom of page 161. Turning to page 79, and this is the end of the English key, points 10, 11, and 12. Point number 10 says, the plural of tariqun is turuqun. And the plural of turuqun is turuqatun. This is called jam'u al-jam'i. Jam'u al-jam'i. That is the plural of the plural. So the original word, the singular mufrad, is tariqun, means a path or road, and turuq is its plural, means roads. And there's a plural of this plural, turuqat. And this is called jam' al-jam', and some nouns have jam'u al-jam', not all nouns, but some of them. For example, makanun means a place. Its plural is amkinatun, places. And the plural of amkina is amakinu. Yani with a single dhamma because it's mamnu min asarf. And another example is siwarun, means a bracelet. And its plural is aswiratun, bracelets. And asawiru, asawiru, it's also mamnu min asarf. That's why it has a single dhamma. Means many, many bracelets. And another example is yadun, which means a hand. Its plural is aidin, hands. And ayadin is the plural of the plural. And finally they said, what? The jam'u al-jam'i mostly has the meaning of the plural. Yani the plural of the plural usually has the same meaning as the original plural. But in some cases it has a different meaning. Yani the plural of the plural sometimes could have a different meaning than the plural. For example, Aiden, which is the plural of Yed, Aiden means hands, but its plural, Ayadin, means favors. And Buyutun, the plural of Beit, means houses, but its plural, Buyutat, means respectable families. So this is also covered in the Arabic section of the book, with some examples on the bottom of page 161 and continues on page top of page 162. Okay, what remains after this? Points 11 and 12 are not covered in the Arabic text of this book. So we're just going to read the English here and suffice with that. Point number 11, we're on the last page of the English key, page 79. Point number 11, Dara. Dara means he knew. But if we transfer it to the bab af'ala, it became adara. He made him know, caused somebody else to know. Dara, he knew, that's intransitive. When we transfer it to bab af'ala, it became adara. It became transitive, he caused somebody else to know. That is, he informed him. Example they give, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهُ يَكْذِبُ. I think it came in the lesson. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهُ يَكْذِبُ. And what informed you? What caused you to know that he is telling a lie? Or the meaning may be, how did you come to know that he is telling a lie? Yani, what was it that made you know he was lying? And in the Quran, 97th surah, ayats 1 through 3, we have بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Indeed, we have revealed it in the night of Qadr, decree. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what will inform you? What is it that will make you know what is the night of Qadr, the night of decree? لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. And the night of Qadr is better than 1,000 months. The expression, this expression, يعني أَدْرَا, has been used in the Quran about 13 times. There's no Arabic discussion concerning this. Point number 12, the meaning of the poetic line, وَلَمْ أَرَى كَالْمَعْرُوفِ أَمَّا مَذَاقُهُ فَحُلْوٌ وَأَمَّا وَجْهُهُ فَجَمِيلُ, with a single dhamma. The meaning, وَلَمْ أَرَى كَالْمَعْرُوفِ, I have not seen anything like al-ma'ruf, a good deed. أَمَّا مَذَاقُهُ, as for its taste, فَحُلْوٌ, its taste is sweet. وَأَمَّا وَجْهُهُ, and as for its face, فَجَمِيلُ, its face is beautiful. Its face is beautiful. And actually in the Arabic dialogue of this lesson, there's a different line of poetry given. In some books it has this line of poetry that's mentioned here in the English key. And in some books it has a different line of poetry. We'll discuss the other one when we read the Arabic dialogue. Okay, this is the end of the English key. What remains is just the English explanations of the instructions for the exercises. In the little bit of time that remains, it's not a lot of time, but perhaps we can read the Arabic dialogue, and if necessary, we'll come back to it again next week. But just because of the fact that we do have a few minutes remaining, let's try to look at the Arabic dialogue on page 150 and 151. Page 150 and 151. And again, what we normally do with the Arabic dialogue is that we read it, we translate it, and we analyze the grammar. Okay, so you should have done that already. You should have read it. You should have translated, written out the translation preferably. And you should have looked at the grammar containing this lesson, especially the things that are new for this particular lesson. At the top of the page, الدرس الثامن عشرة, يعني the 18th lesson, بعد صلاة العصر, this incident or this event, this discussion is taking place after صلاة العصر. The teacher says, كيف أمسيتم يا إخوانو, يعني how are you all doing this evening? How did the evening reach you? What condition are you when the evening came in? كيف أمسيتم, how did you all reach the evening? How are you this evening? يا إخوانو. And this is the verb, يعني أمسى, which from أخواتو, كان. Its ism here is the pronoun تم. It's مبنيون, but it's in the place where it should be مرفون, في محل رف. كيف أمسيتم يا إخوانو. The طالبة, the students, يعني طالبة is the plural of طالب, of طالب. أمسينا بخير, أمسينا بخير والحمد لله. We reached the evening in a good condition. Fine. Well. Walhamdulillah. The teacher says, Lima akharta as-saburata ya Usamatu. Why did you akharta? Akhrajta. I need to put my glasses on. Lima akhrajta as-saburata ya Usamatu. Why did you make the writing board? Why did you take it outside? Cause it to go outside. Yani from kharaja, akhraja means to make something go outside, to take it outside. Lima akhrajta as-saburata ya Usamatu. Why did you take the blackboard outside, Usama, or the whiteboard, or the yani writing board? Adkhilha, this is a fi'l amr. Adkhilha bi sur'atin. Yani return it, bring it back inside, cause it to come back inside quickly. Usama says, akhrajtuha لِأُنَظِّفَهَا. Yani, I took it outside in order to clean it. سَأُدْخِلُهَا بَعْدَ تَنْظِيفِهَا. And I will bring it back inside after cleaning it. The teacher says, أَيُّهَا الْإِخْوَةُ أُهَنِّئُكُمْ. Yani, all brothers. He's addressing the students as his brothers. أَيُّهَا الْإِخْوَةُ أُهَنِّئُكُمْ بِنَجَاحِكُمْ الْبَاهِرِ فِي الْإِمْتِهَانِ النِّصْفِ. He said, I congratulate you all on your yani brilliant success yani in passing the midterm exams. الْإِمْتِهَانِ النِّصْفِ. Yani the imtihan that's at the half of the year. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ فَرِحْتُ كَثِيرًا بِهَذِهِ النَّتِيجَةِ الَّتِي بَلَغَتْ نِسْبَتُهَا يعني 97%. يعني by Allah لَقَدْ. Here we have what? The جواب القسم. وَاللَّهِ the جواب القسم فَرِحْتُ كَثِيرًا. يعني it's a past tense verb and it's in the affirmative. So it's preceded by لَقَدْ, the emphatic. يعني particle لقد. والله لقد فرحت كثيرا بهذه النتيجة. يعني I have indeed, certainly I am very happy with this result which reached 97%. يعني the students, يعني their grades reached the percentage of 97%. يعني average. Ukasha says, فرحك الله دائما يا أستاذ. يعني may Allah make you pleased or happy or delighted all the time, O teacher. فَرَّحَ يعني is from the verb فَعَلَ, mean to cause somebody else to be happy or to be delighted. At this point, يُدْخِلُ أُسَامَ السَّبُورَةَ, يعني Usama causes the blackboard to enter. He brings it back inside and the teacher says, إِنِّي جَوَّلْتُ فِي مَشَارِكِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبِهَا وَدَرَّسْتُ فِي بِلَادٍ كَثِيرَةٍ وَلَمْ أَرَى Tulaban ahsana minkum. Indeed, I have traveled. Jawwaltu. This is from bab fa'ala. Yani meaning, yani excessive traveling, extensive traveling. Inni jawwaltu fi masharik al-ardi wa magharibiha. I have traveled all over the eastern parts of the earth and the western parts of the earth, meaning all over the world. Wa darrastu. Also from the bab fa'ala. And I have taught in many countries. Fi biladin kathiratin. وَلَمْ أَرَى تُلَابًا أَحْسَنَ مِنْكُمْ. And I didn't see students better than you all. Usama says, جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا يَا أُسْتَاذُ. May Allah reward you with good, O teacher. The teacher says, لَعَلَّكُمْ أَحْضَرْتُمْ دَفَاتِرَ النَّحْوِ. Perhaps you all have brought your nahu, your grammar notebooks. Here, the verb أَحْضَرَ is from the verb أَفْعَلَ. Yani hadara means to attend, ahdara means to bring, to cause something else to attend, from bab afala. لَعَلَّكُمْ أَحْضَرْتُمْ دَفَاتِرَ النَّهْوِ. Perhaps you all have brought your grammar notebooks. Ukasha says, نَعَمْ أَحْضَرْنَاهَا. Yes, we have brought them. Yani ha referring back to الدفاتر. المدرس هاتوها. Yani Hatu, yani give me. Ha, yani الدفاتر, the notebooks. Uridu an uriyaha al-mudira. I want to show them to the principal. Yani uriya, yani is from the bab, yani afala. Yani from ara, the mudari, uriya. Uri, I mean the mudari will be uri, but here it's mansub because of n, so it became uriya. Uriyaha. I want to show them the dafatir to the mudir. Sayusarru biha kathiran, inshallah. He will be very happy. Yusarru, he will be made very, very happy by what he will see in your notebooks. Very happy, kathiran, inshallah. And then the teacher goes on to say, Ya Amr, O Amr, Asmi'ni Baita al-Mutanabbi al-Ladhi Dhakartuhu Amsi. Yani, this is from the original verb Samia, from the verb Asma'a. The fi'l amr is asmi'ni, cause me to hear. Yani, recite out loud so that I will hear the verse of poetry of Al-Mutanabbi, which I mentioned yesterday. Cause me to hear it, meaning recite it out loud. On the top of page 151, Amr says, وَمَا التَّأَنِيثُ لِإِسْمِ الشَّمْسِ عَيْبٌ وَلَا التَّذْكِيرُ فَخْرٌ لِلْهِلَالِ. Yani, the ta'anith, the fact that the noun ash-shams, ism ash-shams, the fact that the noun ash-shams is feminine is not a cause of or reason for shame or disgrace. It's not a aib. It's not a defect. وَلَا التَّذْكِيرُ فَخْرٌ لِلْهِلَالِ. Nor is the fact that the word, the noun hilal, that it's masculine, tathkir, is not a source of pride. It's nothing to be proud about. It doesn't any bring you anything. The teacher says, قُلْ التَّأْنِيثُ وَأَخْرِجْ لِسَانَكَ. And he say that word, ta'anif, and he's telling to make sure you pronounce it right, and make your tongue, cause your tongue to come out. Yani akhraja is from the verb kharaja, on the pattern of afala, means to cause something else to come out. Cause your tongue to come out. يَجِبُ إِخْرَاجُ اللِّسَانِ عِنْدَ النُّطْقِ بِثَلَاثَةِ أَحْرُفٍ. And it is obligatory, إِخْرَاج is the master from أَخْرَجَ يُخْرِجُ. It's obligatory to bring out the tongue at the time of pronouncing three letters. وَهِيَ الثَّاءُ وَالذَّالُ وَالظَّاءُ. These three letters, it's mandatory for the tongue to come out of the mouth. أَظُنُّ أَنَّنِي فَاهِمْتُكُمْ مَعْنَاهُ. I think that I have made you all understand its meaning. Yani, I think I have explained it well. Yani, fahama is from fahima, on the bab of fa'ala, to cause somebody else to understand. Usama says, na'am, ma'nahu innama ash-shay bihaqiqatihi la bi-ismihi. Yani, Usama says, yes, its meaning, what you are trying to say here, yani, in this line of poetry, the meaning of it is that a thing is by its reality. لا بإسمي. Its name doesn't matter, but its reality is what really matters. Ali says, يا أستاذ أرجو أن تسمح لي بالذهاب إلى غرفتي فإن بي صداعا شديدا. He said, O teacher, I hope, I wish that you will give me permission to go to my room. For indeed, يعني, I have been afflicted by a severe headache. And here comes the word صداع, which is on the pattern of فعال, which is a pattern that's used for many sicknesses and illnesses. And this is the end of our time, but we'll just finish this reading, if you don't mind me taking one or two more minutes just to finish the reading. And next week we may come back to it a little bit, inshallah. The teacher says, Idhab shafaq Allah, go, may Allah grant you, yani, healing. Ibrahim says, Ma bihi suda'an, ya ustaz, innama yakdhibu. Yani, he doesn't have a headache, O teacher. In fact, he is only lying. Here's the innama, yani, which is the ma al-kafa, yani, which prevents inna from having an effect on the noun that follows it. And in this case, it is also used with a jumla fi'liya, whereas inna is not used with a jumla fi'liya. When ma is attached to it, it may be used with a jumla ismiya. Inna ma yakthibu, he is only lying, no more or less. The teacher says, وَمَا أَدَرَكَ أَنَّهُ يَكْذِبُ. And what is it that would make you know that he is lying? And this is the verb adara, on the pattern of afala, which means to cause somebody to know something. Ibrahim says, adhunnu, I think. Yani, I think he is lying. The teacher says, and this is the end of our discussion here, iyaka wadhanna ya Ibrahimu, beware, yani, of just, yani, having thoughts, yani, evil thoughts without any basis. O Ibrahim, faqad qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, iyakum wadhanna. فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذِبُ الْحَدِيثِ وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ سورة الحجرات 49th سورة 12th آيات يعني إياك والظن يا إبراهيم beware of just يعني making accusations evil accusations against a Muslim where you don't have any proof you don't have any dalil. Okay, so he said, because the Prophet said, Iyakum wadhan, beware of adhan, yani having an evil thought about a Muslim without any proof. Fa inna adhan akdhabu, yani on the pattern of af'alu, al hadithi, because indeed this thinking, this false accusation without any basis, thinking evil of a Muslim without any proof, yani is akdhabu al hadith. Mean ashaddu al-kadhib. It's the most severe type of lying. And Allah says in the Quran, inna ba'da dhanni ithm, that indeed some acts of dhan are sinful. And this is the end of what we are able to cover for today. Pardon me for going a little bit over. What remains from the homework is the first exercise, which is the comprehension exercise. I'm not going to take any more of your time at this point, but inshallah we'll go over the answers to those questions next week. Yani just if you want to check for yourself right now, the answer to the first question is that Usama, yani, took out the writing board from the classroom so that he may clean it. And the second one is the percentage of success of passing of those students reached 79%. And the third one is that Ali, he wanted to go to his room because he had a severe headache. And the fourth answer is the teacher wanted to show the principal the Nahu notebooks. Okay, so we'll go over this first exercise, the comprehension questions, in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And next week, inshallah, we're going to go on to yani the reading of the Arabic section of the book after the first comprehension question, starting on page 152. And we'll be reading all of the stuff that we covered in the English key, grammatical points. We'll be covering all of that with exercises in what follows. Okay, we won't do all of the exercises that remain in this lesson because there's, I don't know, 10 or 12 pages of exercises. There's a lot of exercises. And it's more than 10 pages of exercises. I think it's about 12 pages. We'll probably do them over a period of the next 2 weeks. And we'll do some of the exercises for homework this week. And we'll go over them in the next session. And we'll do more of the exercises in the following week. We'll have them for homework and go over them in the live session. If anybody has any questions, please send me an email at the email address that I've been corresponding to you with. Don't hesitate to ask a question or even make a suggestion. Hopefully we haven't been moving too fast. For those who have covered the level 3 course, inshallah, this is obviously all new material, but I think everybody should be able to follow. And again, what is important is that you do take time during the week, every day, half an hour, 45 minutes according to your ability, and go over a little bit of the lesson that we're going to cover in the live session before we do it in the live session, so that you're already familiar with it. And this will help you a lot, so that you will preview each lesson, and then you will do the lesson in the live session, and then we will review it again on your own in your own time. So it means that you'll look at this material 3 times. This is very effective in learning, that you preview the lesson, do it in the class, and then review it again on your own. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He keep us firm upon a sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him, and that He will cure those from amongst us who are sick, and pardon and forgive and shower His mercy upon those who have passed away. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.